Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for tonight's teleseminar. We're glad that you could make it. We really appreciate you taking time out of your busy day to join us for this teleseminar. And we know how challenging parenting is and how precious your time is, so we really hope to give you some information tonight that you can try in your families as the holidays approach and hopefully lead to having a more connected and fun holiday for you and your kids. We are expecting many parents to join us tonight, and I'd hope not to start without everyone here. So I'm going to take just a few minutes to talk about Hand in Hand while everyone is joining in, and then we'll begin our teleseminar on not only surviving but hopefully enjoying the holidays with your kids. So Hand in Hand is a nonprofit organization here to support parents and caregivers. I teach with Hand in Hand because the tools that I learned helped me feel like I was really meeting my daughter's core needs, and they work so well at helping us move through those tough emotional moments so that we could enjoy our connection together. Hand in Hand brings information, tools, and lots of support for that vital work of parenting that you do. We know the work of nurturing children is not work that's done well all by yourself. We really need support. We offer a variety of offerings designed to support you. So everything from classes and support groups, both in person, if there's an instructor in your area, and also online. We have lots of free articles, booklets and podcasts, an online discussion group. We have free teleseminars like this one, and also a really great blog with parent success stories. We also offer intensive trainings for parents and professionals. So our approach in all of these offerings is called Parenting by Connection. The main ideas behind this approach are that, one, we support parents. We know that parents need and deserve support for the emotional challenge of parenting. We can build that support and have much more success meeting our own needs and our children's. Our children are born to feel connected with us, and this sense of connection is what they need in order to learn, to build friendships, and to build resilience and confidence as they grow. And that when children don't feel connected, we see that their behavior goes off track, and that's how they signal to us for help. And lastly, that fostering laughter and play without tickling, setting limits without harshness, and supporting children to have good, hearty cries and tantrums are what helps our children feel more fully connected to us and helps them leave difficult behaviors behind. So all in all, Hand in Hand helps parents strengthen and rebuild the parent-child connection so we can feel successful as we love our children, and so our children can thrive on the love that we have for them. Let's see, looks like we still have some more folks logging in. I'll let you know a little bit about myself and my co-presenter, Julie Johnson, who is here too. I'm Michelle Pate, and I live in Bend, Oregon. I have one daughter who is now 9. And I've been teaching with Hand in Hand for almost 5 years now. And tonight I'm really looking forward to sharing with you how I've used these Parenting by Connection listening tools in my family around the holidays and how they've helped us. Let's see. And Julie, will you go ahead and introduce yourself now also?
Sure. Hi, everyone. My name is Julie Johnson, and I'm in Berkeley, California. And I'm a certified Parenting by Connection instructor as well. And I've been teaching Parenting by Connection for about 3 years. And I have a son who's 5 years old, and I have a 10-year-old stepdaughter. And I started using the what I call listening tools when my son, probably about a year old, and I found that there were a lot of challenges in the early years during that time of kind of blending our family together. And I found that the tools made a really big difference in in how in our relationship and my relationship with my stepdaughter, and it's really changed and developed in a really wonderful way, and I have been able to use them with my son as well. And so yeah, and tonight we're going to talk about, as Michelle said, how to use these tools kind of specifically around the holidays to help things go better and go more smoothly. So let's see, a few more people coming on. Michelle, should we jump in?
And yeah, I think so. Let's five after. Let's go ahead and get started.
Okay. So I'm going to start by talking a little bit about why things can be challenging with our children over the holidays and why they can also be challenging for us as parents. And then we're going to look at some of the things that we can do to prepare for the holidays and some strategies to try during these times to relieve some of the stress that can come up. So occasions like holidays as well as birthdays can bring up big feelings for kids, and we can usually count on that. So you're not alone if your child has had a meltdown because they're disappointed with a gift they got, or you were hoping that they would kind of behave in a certain way around relatives or with grandparents or in-laws, but instead they were whiny or upset or tantruming. So most of us have been there. I know I have. And some of the reasons why there is often tension around the holidays or these big occasions are that, for one thing, parents tend to be more stressed. So certainly parents often get stressed around the holidays with the busyness of preparing for dinners or buying gifts, and that finances can be a stress. We also, as parents, sometimes have more expectations that we put on our children around having good behavior around our relatives or friends or other family members. And then when that doesn't happen, that can be stressful. We can be irritable about that. Also, children's expectations are really heightened around these times, and there can be a letdown when things don't go a certain way. Also, just having lots of loving family and friends around, if that is the case, can create a safe space where it's easier for children to feel some of the feelings that come up around these times more acutely. And so for those reasons, a child might become upset more easily. On the flip side of that, being around family that we as adults don't get along with very well, or, you know, we kind of have to, if we feel like we have to just hold our breath and kind of barrel through the holidays with other relatives, that can be hard on our children as well. My mom often jokes, and she actually said this today, she said, "Oh, the holidays are at our throat again." So depending on, you know, how we experience things and our stresses, that can also affect our children. So anyway, I have a friend who has three children, and for years she did Thanksgiving with her sister and her parents and some other relatives. But my friend and her, it's her half-sister, have had a stressful and kind of contentious relationship for many years, and they haven't been able to come to any resolution around it. They've tried kind of talking it through and working on it, but it hasn't really improved. And their parents have kind of got into it and tried to help them, but it hasn't helped. And so, but they, for years, have been doing holidays together, and it's been pretty unpleasant for my friend and for her families. And so she actually just recently, last year, decided that they would do Thanksgiving at her friend's house instead, and that they wouldn't go to her relative's house and be with her parents and her sister. And she said to me last year that that was one of the best decisions that she's made around the holidays in a long time, and that they had a really wonderful time at their friend's house, and there were children there that the kids liked to play with, and the parents were really happy to be together during that time. So it took my friend, though, a while to figure out that she didn't actually have to suffer through the holidays the way she had been doing with her parents and her sister, but that actually changing the venue and being with good friends and their children made a big difference in how she felt at that time. So one way to figure out how to spend the holidays or to kind of get through some of the challenges of the holidays is to have a good listener that you can talk to and kind of work things through with. And in the Parenting by Connection approach, we call that a listening partner and taking time to have listening time to really figure out whatever it is, whether it's, you know, I want to do Hanukkah differently this year, or I want to, you know, I want to go away where we can, you know, just be with family, just be with the immediate family, or working on some of the kind of hard relationships that might kind of be, people might feel more strongly during that time. So Michelle's going to talk about what listening partnerships look like and how to get that kind of support.
All right. Thanks, Julie.
Yeah,
I think as I was listening to you share, I was thinking about how much I didn't think about these things until becoming a parent and then finding Hand in Hand and developing the listening partnership, that I actually started thinking about how the holidays went for us and realizing, like, it didn't have to be that way. Either I could change things up in the way we did things or even just, like, changing how I thought about things. And that came through, you know, with sharing that listening time. And it's so rare in our everyday lives to have someone who will sit and listen to us for 20 minutes. Not interrupting, not giving advice, but really just offering their presence and listening to us so we can think out loud about our own families. And I think that's been the real gift of the listening time, how much I've been able to learn and shift things within myself just by having that space. And for me, you know, it's 20 or 30 minutes each week. It can be this small chunk of time that makes a really big difference. So, yeah, as we head into the holiday season, I'm going to talk about two of those things, listening time for ourselves and special time with our child, that are things we can do proactively to relieve the stress for ourselves and also keep that connection with our child strong. So listening partnerships, some of you may be familiar with this from other materials with Hand in Hand. And those of you who are new to this idea, the basic gist is that two adults make an arrangement to share what we call listening time with each other. And this is a time where you take turns just listening to each other for a set amount of time. And when it's your turn, you can say whatever's on your mind, show whatever you are feeling without getting advice from the other person. And what I noticed too, without feeling judged. As the listener, just listening with respect and warmth toward you and knowing that even if you're having a hard time and you're feeling miserable, that they know you're a good parent and a good person and are trying hard. And so experiencing that, you know, week after week with someone really makes a big difference. And what I've noticed and found really powerful also about listening partnership is that it calms my own reactivity. Because it's giving me a place to be heard instead of taking my feelings out on others or else stuffing them away where they're likely to just build up and then be taken out on others. And I knew I didn't like doing that and didn't want to do that, whether it was to family, children. So developing a partnership like this is helpful for clearing tension and worries before the holidays get here. If you know Thanksgiving is hard, and you just have someone to talk to each week about it, it can start dissolving some of that tension so it's not as hard for you when it gets here. It gives you time and space to think about what you really want for you and for your family. As you notice what gets hard for you, you can start to think about, do I, you know, need a change? You know, maybe we don't need to spend the whole day there. Maybe just 4 hours would be good. And just finding ways to really take care of yourself. And the other great thing when you have these partnerships developed, or if you just have a good friend who is a listener for you, someone you can call when things get hard, that's really helpful too. And it was the case for me one Christmas morning a few years ago. my daughter's behavior was going off track. And for some reason, her dad, who obviously he was triggered by something too, I can't remember what was up for him, but it was starting to come out toward me, and he was both figuratively and literally finger pointing at me. And so I was trying to not let it bother me and just stay with our daughter as she fussed and cried and trying to support her through her feelings. But I noticed I was having a hard time listening to her because inside I was silently fuming at him for doing the finger pointing. And I noticed I just couldn't move past that. I was just feeling madder and madder inside at him. And so I couldn't give her good attention and stay with her to help her work through what she needed. I knew I needed help. So I told my daughter, you know, you're doing a great job, honey, expressing yourself. I know it's hard. I'm sorry. And I need to go. And I need to get some listening time for myself and run some errands. I think we needed, you know, something from the grocery store. So I made plans to get out. And as soon as I was out the door, I called my listening partner, who I had been talking with each week and hoping she would not mind me having a Christmas Eve rant. And luckily, she was available, and I was able to vent about how frustrated I was about that finger pointing, tell her how much it just infuriated me. And she gave me that space so I could say all the harsh things that I didn't want to say to him because I knew it would only make the situation worse. And I knew he was struggling too. I didn't want to fight, but I was mad, and I really needed to be heard and supported through that. And so as my feelings were heard, I felt myself just becoming calmer. And she gave me some time to reflect, you know, both on him and his own upbringing, and just helped me get to that place of starting to feel compassion for him and sort of seeing like, oh, man, you know, he's going through stuff too, and we're both tense and triggered. Okay, you know, so I just felt myself that reactivity calm down. And it was probably only a 15-minute phone call, and yet it changed the whole course of the day. Because having felt heard, I was able to return home feeling happier, calmer, and genuinely ready to celebrate the holidays with my family. And I noticed with me in that calmer space, it was like then we could all move toward having that connected holiday that we wanted. And I don't think I would have had that same outcome had I not had someone who could really listen to me for that time. So some things you can do to find a listening partner if you don't have one already is to try exchanging time with a friend who's a good listener and able to listen without giving advice. It's someone you know you feel trusting with. Or you can also join one of the support forums that are found on the Hand in Hand website. And if you're on the home page, it's the green icon and it says support forum. So you click on there, and I think it even has a link that says find listening partner. You can explore some different ways to get support. There are parents all over the world who are looking for that same support. And let's see. And now, yeah, I'd like to talk a little bit about special time. So most of us, when we think about the holidays, we're really hoping for a time that's filled with that relaxed connection, having fun, enjoying our families, kind of all the things we see as the happy Christmas, you know, we see on TV or the movies. But we're often overscheduled. We're pushed to our limit because we're trying to handle both our daily routine, which I'm sure you guys like me, it's already very full. And then we're adding in things like holiday decorating, traveling, baking, shopping, special meal preparations, and more. So it's really super easy to let our connection with our children slip. And our kids, though, are wired for that connection. So when we get wrapped up in other things, even when it's like fun stuff for them and we start to get stressed, they really feel that acutely. And they'll often signal by doing unworkable, unreasonable things, often things that get our blood boiling because we're already stressed out. So the tool that we recommend to keep that connection going is special time, and this is where you set a certain amount of time to give your child your full, undivided attention and let them know you'll play whatever they want to play for this set time. So it's not necessarily like a whole afternoon of just letting them be in charge. It can be 5 minutes, can be 10 minutes, 20 minutes, kind of whatever works for you. And during that time, you just want to focus on them, kind of think of shining your love on them. Let them direct the play. No multitasking during the time. So turn the phone on silent, no picking lint off the carpet or taking laundry to the other room. Really focus your full attention for this one-on-one time. And in doing this, you're helping to keep your child's connection tank full. And it's really a way of offering the type of presence that your child needs most. So even small bits of special time sprinkled through a busy day helps our children know that they matter to us, and it keeps them feeling connected and safe. So I know I've been in the position where I'm doing things like I'm wrapping, you know, my daughter's presents, and I'm trying to bake cookies for her, and I'm trying to arrange something else for her, and it feels like I'm doing all this stuff for her to show my love, and yet she's not feeling me there. So she doesn't realize, you know, but don't you see all that I'm doing for you? Why are you melting down? It's because she's not feeling me. And so I've learned to really, when these times of stress, you know, even if it's just 5 minutes each hour, to stop, connect with her, make eye contact, share some snuggles, chase around the house. It just keeps her more centered. Like, oh, okay, mom's busy, but she knows I'm here. She keeps checking in with me. And the other cool thing about special time is that it also gives kids a space to work through things that are troubling them or that they're trying to work through. And as I was preparing for this teleseminar, I started remembering some of my daughter's special time choices when the holidays were approaching back when she was more preschool age. And I was remembering that she would often choose things like looking through my wrapping paper in gift bags. We had one of those plastic bins that hold all the gift wrapping supplies, and she'd want to look through that. She'd want to do things like have us wrap pretend gifts for each other. So we'd have to, like, go around the house shopping for gifts and wrap them up, put them under the tree, and we'd play Christmas and then unwrap them. And this time together with her helped me see that maybe it was actually kind of hard to have presents around the tree but not be able to open them. It made me think our children are probably managing a lot more self-control than we notice at this time of year. Because at her special time, that is what she wanted to do. Let's wrap presents. Let's put them here. And I'm, you know, going to tell you when to open them. And she could direct the whole thing. And I think it gave her some sense of control to create a Christmas where she was in charge of everything from the gift gathering around the house and wrapping up and deciding, you know, when we could open them. And knowing she had the space to be in control and that I would cooperate with her, and we'd probably set the timer for maybe 15 minutes and do all this, I think it made it a lot easier for her to go along with me and then offer her cooperation the rest of the day. So I'd say, no, the presents, you know, are waiting to Christmas. It was like, oh, you know, she could do that. Then when cooperation isn't going smoothly, play is a great way to shake things up and relieve some holiday stress. And Julie, I think you were going to share your story of how you use play in terms of reducing the tension that comes with preparing for company and also how it helps. Yeah, with reconnecting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. So one of the listening tools that I love in the Parenting by Connection approach is play listening, where you're just sort of trying to find where the laughter is and trying to find where the smiles or the giggles peek through. And one day, this wasn't actually around the holidays, but we were planning to have company for dinner. And my stepdaughter was here and my son, and we were all just sort of running around the house. And I could see, like, I was getting kind of tense. We were, you know, I was trying to get the food ready and put things out. And but I could see my stepdaughter was getting a bit tense too, and sometimes for some reason, like during those moments, especially before we have company, she kind of wants things to be a certain way, and so, you know, she wants, like, the table to be set in a very specific way, or she wants hors d'oeuvres, like, to look a certain way, and it feels very rigid to me, and so that kind of triggers me, and so I could see that this tension was building, and I needed to do something about it, because I wasn't in a great place at that point to have the company come over, and so at one point I just looked at her, and I was like, do you want to go wrestle outside? Because we have a little patch of grass in our backyard that we can sometimes run around on. And she said, yeah. And I could just see, just by that suggestion, like her mood started to change. Like her eyes lit up, and my son wanted to be in on it too. And so we went out to the backyard, and I think they like jumped on me a little bit. I gave them some horsey rides. We ran around in circles. I chased them a little bit, and that, you know, I tried to catch them and I couldn't, and was kind of bumbling around, and they started laughing, and they also started sort of piling up on me and, you know, getting some of their tension or energy out on me, which was good. And we also, I think we like to, one of the things we like to do is steamroller. So when a child lies on top of you and you hug each other, and then you roll from, like, usually we do it on the bed, but you roll from one edge to the next. You try to. I mean, it can get very bumbly, and that always just evokes lots of laughter with my stepdaughter. And so in just about 10 minutes, it seemed things were starting to shift, and they were both giggling and laughing. And at that point, actually, the company came over, and one of them was my mom, and they came to the backyard, and they saw us, and they got these big smiles on their face. And my mom actually knows one of the neighbors that is back-to-back with our house, and she said, oh, you know, so-and-so always says she just hears laughs and giggles coming from your house. And, you know, I'm thinking, yeah, right, like, got the wrong house. But, you know, we do a lot of our play listening, or a lot of our wrestling and kind of chasing around outside, actually, when we can. And so that's maybe what she's hearing. But what happened was that it really kind of, whatever tension was building, it really reduced that. And we were then able to go inside, and I could just tell, like, I was much more relaxed, and so was my stepdaughter, and we ended up having a really nice evening, and the people that came over had a really nice time. And so I just find that kind of generating laughter, even if it's just like 10, you know, a few minutes, can really help to kind of offset something that's building. But even as we use these tools proactively, disappointments and meltdowns are still going to happen. And so when they do happen, there are certainly things that we can do about them. And Michelle, you were going to talk about say listening a little bit?
Yeah, Julie. And I love, too, that you were mentioned just, yeah, that it's like 10 minutes. I was kind of thinking, like, all these things, the listening time I needed, you know, it was short, some of those special times with my daughter. It's like these just little chunks of time.
Yeah.
They make this world of difference. I know we can have 3 minutes of just chasing each other around the house, shifts things, and we both start laughing, and usually I'm winded, and, you know, but it just changes things for both of us. And so as you mentioned at the beginning of our call, when holidays and special occasions are coming around, children's expectations are often heightened. And then you add in, you know, loving family and friends. And the safe place gets created where children start to feel their feelings just more strongly. So a child may become upset more easily or feel the sting of disappointment more readily. And even with that disappointment, it may not be about the thing you think it is. You know, it could be earlier disappointments, and something happens that kind of reminds them of that feeling. And then they're feeling all this love and all this goodness around them. And it seems like, you know, maybe I can get some help with these feelings here. I don't want to hold on to them anymore. I think as adults, you know, we so often weren't listened to, so we get used to kind of holding it in. And holding it in for long periods of time, holding it in and then blowing up. But our children, you know, they want to be free of it. They don't like that feeling in them. They just want to let it out. And so you may have noticed feelings can come pouring out over things like who sits next to whom at the holiday dinner, who got more or better presents. You know, sometimes siblings can really feel any residual unfairness, you know, that's lingering around and feel that and start expressing that. Or any other kind of little pretext that may look insignificant or even irrational to us. But to the child, it's something that stirs up some feelings, and they cannot tend to or manage on their own. So in that moment of emotional upset, they need us to stay close and to be their anchor. So when we can stay close, warm, and loving during our child's emotional storm, we support them through the process of shedding their upset so they can return to thinking well again and enjoy the holidays. So one thing I've found is that it's helpful to be prepared and to expect some emotional upset to happen during special occasions. I've noticed with my daughter that holidays, birthdays, and other kind of special events can stir up feelings for her, and that they actually come out in a pretty predictable way. And I have noticed for her some kind of feelings of disappointment that they come out around gift giving. So that something she's received, and she'll kind of go into this upset. That's not what I wanted. Why did you, you know, get that for me? And there'll be tears, and I'm thinking, because you asked for it. You know, that's why I got it for you. But she's getting really upset. And so it looks irrational, but when I remind myself, okay, this is just something she's using to get the feelings out. The feelings are very real. They need to be heard. She needs to let them go, and I don't need to argue with her that she asked for this gift, and that's, you know, why we got it for her. So usually just staying by her and saying something, you know, I'm sorry, it's not what you were wanting, or that you're not wanting it now, and just listen and let her cry. You know, you don't give me what I want, you know. Sometimes they'll make really big statements. You never give me anything I've ever wanted, you know. And we can hear some really hard things. And to just remember that it's not personal. It's just, this is how I'm feeling, and this is the only way I know how to express it. So we stay close. We listen. And what I have found is that after listening to her, you know, trying to, like, take a breath and then calm down, and then she stops, and she'll look really thoughtful and be like, you know, I think I do want this. And it just shifts. But so all she needed was me just to stay with her through this. And we had this with, I know, a jewelry box. One year she wanted a jewelry box for Christmas, and we got it for her, and she hated it until she cried very thoroughly, probably, again, a short time, you know, 10 minutes of crying about the jewelry box. And then she was holding it to her chest and dancing around the living room with it. I love it. You know, it was one of those musical jewelry boxes. And you're like, wow, 10 minutes ago she hated it. But it wasn't about the jewelry box. Just for some reason, that was the time where the feelings that she was carrying, maybe around disappointment and or any stress or tension, that it needed to come out. And so, yeah, as much as you can think about it, you know, spend some time thinking about what do you notice during the holidays. Do you notice kind of predictable sibling squabbles that come up? And probably a good time to mention, too, that I think tomorrow at noon there's a teleseminar on siblings in the holidays, too, with our instructor, Kristen Volk. So she'll be going into a little bit more detail with the siblings. Is it arguments, you know, about food? Is it kids just, you know, getting tired or having a hard time being in a family group for a certain time? You know, is it, gee, after, you know, 5 hours at grandma's, they always melt down? You know, finding those times and then being prepared. You know, it might be like, yeah, we know after 5 hours at our family's, things start to go south. So, boy, what could we do beforehand? You know, do we need to leave earlier? Do we need to bring some play in and connect with the kids? You know, a lot of times grown-ups are sort of sitting around connecting with each other, and the kids are playing happily. they still need that kind of a dose of check-in with mom or dad, an adult, to know, yeah, we know you're here and we're connecting in with you, get some laughter, can help. And then, Julie, I know you had a few things to say about what parents can do to make things go more smoothly in blended families. Could you share that now?
Yeah, sure. I thought I'd say a few things about just what, you know, holidays are like in blended families. And, you know, as we know, there are a variety of different configurations. So some families have children that go back and forth between two different homes. Some children live full-time with a step-parent and a biological parent. Some of those children don't have contact anymore with a biological parent but are living full-time with a step-parent and a biological parent. And so for any blended or step-families, much of what we talked about so far is useful and can apply. But I think there are also a few things that we can do that are sort of more specific to different family configurations. So one thing I was thinking about, for example, is it can be useful to use special time strategically so that, for example, if a child has just spent a few days with their mom and then comes to dad's house for Thanksgiving, it's probably not a great idea to come just an hour before the dinner starts, but rather to have her come earlier in the day if possible or even the night before so that there's time built in for special time. It could be play listening, time for connection. And you can also just have that extra time to make room for any kind of big feelings that might come up. Because in blended families and for kids who move back and forth, transitions can bring up a lot of feelings. And so those times can be challenging anyway. So around the holidays, it's nice to be sort of more conscious of how we can use the tools strategically. My stepdaughter likes to, she comes into our house on Wednesday evenings, and after dinner we kind of have a ritual now of going to our bedroom and wrestling and roughhousing, and that's been a really great way to kind of ease her into the next few days that we're going to spend together. But in terms of the holidays, it's great to have to build in that extra time, if possible, to work on things through that transition. Also, for children in step families or blended families, the holidays can be an extra trigger around, because issues around family come up, family that either they once had or hoped for just isn't there in the same way. And so feelings can erupt for kids in these situations sometimes. And I know, for example, my stepdaughter would love all of her parents to live together in one house, which is, I think, not an uncommon desire for kids who go back and forth and are close with both families. But it's really useful for kids to get to feel that sadness or that anger or that disappointment that, you know, as we've been saying, that crops up around kind of extra family time and around celebrations and the holidays. And then also just to remember that we as parents have a lot of feelings about some of these things as well. So a parent might, you know, also have sadness about the fact that things are not the way they used to be in the family or that things are not just right for their child. And I think it's really great, you know, just as we've been talking about earlier about listening time, just for parents to have that extra support, step parents as well as biological parents, to have that extra support to notice some of those feelings around the holiday. And in general, just to, I think sometimes we forget to take care of ourselves and as parents, and that's true in general, but during the holidays, it can be really important for step parents to, as well as other parents, but for step-parents to take a break and to kind of get away and, you know, go out and maybe have a meal with a friend or, you know, take a walk in nature or exercise or do something that that really is self-care oriented, and to kind of take a break from the family since usually around these times our kids are home more, so we're seeing them more. And where, you know, more, I think, conflicts are naturally arising for the various things that we've talked about. But it's really great to really take some time out for ourselves to just to, you know, infuse those even short times of self-care, whether it's, you know, going out with a friend or doing something that we like to do, because I think we can get really caught up in the busyness of the season and forget to do that for ourselves. So, yeah, that's just a few thoughts on blended families, and actually we'll have a longer article about it on my blog soon. But that's something kind of to think about for now.
So yeah, thanks for sharing, Julie.
Yeah, sure.
And that self-care piece is really good for all parents, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
so easy to forget.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's see. Michelle, do you want to do another anecdote, or should we do Q&A? It's about 40 minutes in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's see. Maybe I can share a quick one.
Yeah.
Quick one that was a funny kind of a way. It's, again, bringing in that play and humor with our kids is really, it just shifts things. The more we can do that, and it's really hard to be playful and funny when you're stressed out. Boy, I know that one, you know, well. But the more that I can get that support and kind of let my stress out, the easier it is to be fun and playful with my daughter. And I noticed, too, that being playful with her, it helps my own stress level go down. So I can say, oh, let's play chase around the house. It actually makes me feel better, too. We can do something that's funny and get play listening going and giggle. Like, oh, I feel better, too. And it feels really good to parent that way and to know that I'm meeting things playfully. And I was remembering around, again, birthday party and gift giving. And my daughter, one of her good friends, was having a party. And for some reason, I don't know if she was mad at her or what, but my daughter did not want to go to the birthday, was not going to give her a present. You know, she was just adamant about it. And instead of kind of trying to either logically figure, well, what's going on? What happened? You know, we have to give her a gift. That's just the nice thing to do, or you have to go. You said, you know, any of that logical lecture stuff, or, you know, or telling her, why are you being that way? You know, be a good friend. Do this. Give her a present. You know, I'm not going to take this kind of attitude from you. And so, like, going to any of that stuff that I think we've all had done to ourselves, I just decided to go with the easy play on this one, which is potty talk. And so I said, oh, okay, you don't want to give her a birthday cake. Let's just give her some poop. We're just going to give her poop. Do you want to put it in a gift bag, or should we wrap it? And that just got her giggling. And so we kept just sort of joking about that. That's what we're going to give, you know, this friend. And she thought it was hilarious. And we laughed for a few minutes. And all that tension she was feeling, that tightness, whatever it was, it kind of had a hold of her that was coming out in this sort of rigid, tight, harsh, you know, I'm not going to give her anything. I'm not going. It all dissolved, and she was right back to, okay, let's get her this. I think I want to get her this, you know, for her birthday. And she was looking forward to the party. So it's like, oh, I have no clue what caused the tension, but that laughter. And just being able to joke about a gift that we obviously would never, you know, give, but having those giggles about it totally shifted how things worked. So that's kind of my easy laughter with young kids is go for the potty talk.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and see if there are any questions on the line. We can open it up.
If you
do have a question, it's star 2. It will raise your hand, and then we'll be able to see that and open up your line for you.
Okay. All right. I see we have someone in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Maryland.
Hi.
Hi.
So my question is for the listening partnership. If you would recommend it not being a parent. your partner not being a spouse?
Is your listening partner not also being a parent?
Or just not using your spouse as a listening partner?
Oh.
Is it better to use like a friend or someone who's not really involved with the family so much, or would you recommend doing it with a spouse?
Yeah, personally, I think there are many others who have kind of shared the same sentiment that it tends to be easier, almost like the more distant the person is from you. When it's your spouse and you need to talk about your child and how you want to strangle them, that can be triggering to the spouse. Well, what do you mean? You know, and they want to, they get worried. But when it's, you know, the more distant, whether it's a friend, you know, or even for me, it's all came through like doing the certification program and meeting other parents and doing it that way. So that was sort of our relationship was built on that listening partnership.
Yeah.
'Cause even with friends, sometimes it can be tricky and, you know, knowing those boundaries. Like I talked about that in our listening time last night. I don't want to talk about it on our play date at the park. Including that. So it's kind of, using that judgment if it's a friend, you know, making sure you're both clear on that and able to sort of hold that boundary. And with spouses, it can be helpful. I wouldn't recommend it in terms of like an ongoing thing, but sometimes it can be helpful to say, hey, I really need to vent about something. Can you listen for 15 minutes? Set the timer for 15 minutes. I take a turn. And then, okay, you have a turn too, and then offer them the same. And keeping those boundaries too, that we're not going to talk about each other. You know, I'm not going to vent to you about you for 15 minutes. But it can just help developing that, just listening skills with each other and just hearing each other.
Great.
And I noticed with men too, I think having that time limit really helps. Because they know I'm not here forever. It's like, okay, 15 minutes, I can do that.
Okay. Great.
And
thank
you. Thanks. I don't know, Julie, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, I'll just add a short thing, and just that I know a couple that does listening time together on a regular basis, and it seems to go well for them, but they're certainly not their only listening partners. So I think it's really important that if you are, like, it can enrich, you know, a relationship to some degree if you're keeping things separate out, you know, if things are not getting too mushy outside of that time, but that it is really good, I think, to, you know, as Michelle was saying, to have somebody that, I mean, for me, I find somebody that I'm not that close to that I can talk to who, you know, doesn't come into my house and see my family and, you know, that kind of thing.
But
you can try it out. There are different ways to do it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, knowing your spouse and your partner knowing yourself is really, I think, important in that. Okay, let's see. We have another question. Is it Arinda, California?
Yes, hi, it's Catherine.
Hi.
Hi. I'm just wondering, I'm not sure how to phrase this, but basically I have an 8-year-old, and how do you set appropriate boundaries and try to encourage her natural tendencies, her flow as well? Like, rather, I talked to her today that I was going to be on this call, and she's like, you're a wonderful parent, but sometimes I feel like, am I being too controlling, or I try not to say no to her. So how do you direct it into a positive behavior that you want, rather than and try to encourage her behavior, but try to guide it somehow? Do you know what I mean?
I think so.
Like if she's doing a behavior that I don't approve of, especially in public, or if she, and then how do you correct that without squashing her, her own choice of being, and, you know, encouraging her own independence? I don't want to be like, my way's the right all the time.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I think that, I mean, it's a combination of things. I think something that we haven't talked a lot about tonight or at all really is setting limits. And, you know, children need limits. They're vital, I think, for children. And so, you know, you want to decide where, obviously, where those limits need to be set. And then, you know, there's a couple different ways to set limits. So depending on what your daughter does, you know, you can be firm but loving with her and say, you know, I can't let you do X, Y, and Z, and kind of stay there and listen to how, you know, her response to that, but that you're open to kind of listening to what her, then what her response is. You can also set limits playfully. You know, for example, if she wanted more Halloween candy before she went to bed, and you know, you come towards her and say, no, 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 no more candy tonight. That's it for you. And kind of give her a nuzzle, you know, and on the neck or, you know, say, you know, something like that. So I think setting limits is really important. But also having that special time in there that we talked about. So having that, usually we say sort of on a weekly basis, it's really great to have special time, for about an hour if possible. You can divide that hour up in any way you want, but to have that special time so that she really gets to do whatever she wants to do during that time within, you know, safety and reason. But then to bring in the tool of setting limits so that outside of that, you know, there are things that she needs to get done, there's things that you don't want her to do, but that these tools really work in conjunction with each other. So it's important to kind of have all of them kind of moving at the same time. So a regular practice of special time, you know, play listening is really wonderful, as we've talked about, but also being sure to set limits with her. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if Michelle, if that was helpful, if you want to add something.
Well, I was thinking about, too, it's some of that is like choosing where we set limits.
Yeah.
And I know that I, in my history, have leaned more toward fewer limits because I didn't want to do what was done to me, which was a lot of hard limits that just kind of squashed, you know, my spirit. And like, oh, I don't want to do that to my daughter. Yeah. So the listening time for myself really helped me just get clearer and clearer on where my limits were. So where I might have felt like, I don't know, maybe I'll kind of make up an example. You know, like sitting at the dinner table, we're out to eat. Oh, I wish she'd have her napkin on her lap. You know, like she should have the napkin on her lap. And then I could check in and go, okay, is that like a real limit or is this somewhere where she can have some autonomy and choice? You know, there's nobody's getting hurt. It's fine. You know, let it be. I need to work on why am I feeling tense about this napkin on her lap? And then, you know, taking that to the listening partner. And And often things come up and go, oh, yeah, man, I got yelled at if I didn't have my napkin on my lap. Wow, that was like, no wonder I'm feeling tense. Like, she needs to have her napkin on her lap. And then work, you know, work through that. And then if there's stuff like, oh, we're at the restaurant and she's, like, throwing food, you know, at the people next to us. Okay, that's not okay. We're disrupting. I need to step in with a limit. And then it's clearer. It's not like, oh, I don't know what to do here. I don't want to squash her, you know, her spirit. It's like, no. This is where I can come in warmly and not, you know, not yelling at her, not being hard on her, but sitting next to her, you know, putting my hand on her and go, you know, I can't let you, you know, throw food at the people next to us or, you know, just those obvious things where we need to step in. So the listening time for myself helped me get clear on, okay, what are limits and tension that's popping up from my own background and things that were too harsh and rigid? And what are things like, no, she's testing boundaries and she needs me to step in here and say that, you know, not okay. We're not going to do that, you know, and redirect her behavior or, you know, listen to her tears if tears come up and in her emotions. But, yeah, I can appreciate the trickiness of that sometimes.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, yeah, Julie, did you
want to let parents know how they can get some more info. And I know you have a support class around the holidays coming up.
Oh, yeah. So there are more articles on enjoying the holidays with kids and stories from parents on the Hand in Hand website. So you can just use the search box to look up holidays. And then also, I'm in Berkeley, California, as I mentioned. So if you are in the San Francisco Bay Area, I'm doing an in-person class to support parents during the holidays, and that's on Tuesday nights in Berkeley from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. And the dates are December 2nd, 9th, and 16th. I also do individual consultations and coaching with parents in person and over the phone, so if you're interested in more one-on-one support. And you can get more information about my offerings at parentchildconnection.com. And Michelle also does individual consultations and coaching with parents locally in Bend, Oregon, and over the phone. And you can contact her at michellepate.com.
Yeah, thanks, Julie. Mm-hmm. Another good option is there's a Parent Rescue Squad series. Since we didn't go too much into setting limits, but thank you for your question so that we had a chance to kind of talk about that a little bit. There is the whole series on setting limits, and it's a 3-week self-guided online hand-in-hand course. Has Patty teaching the course via videos. You get access to all the Listening to Children booklets. So that's a really great resource to do it, kind of self-pacing to do that. And some parents also choose to do that self-guided and then also reach out to an instructor for one-on-one support. So you have a chance to say, you know, hey, I saw this in the video. I'm not quite sure how to apply that at home. Or I tried, you know, setting limits at home and listening in this way, and here's what's happening. You know, I just would like some more support on bringing these tools into my family, and kind of personalizes that experience for you. So that's an option for you. And so it was so good to be a part of this call with you guys. Thank you for taking time out of your day to be here. And I hope you all have a joyous holiday season and get to try out some of the tools with your family. And feel free to email us and let us know, you know, how it's going, or if you have questions, it'd be great to hear how you use the tools over the holidays.
Yeah, thanks everyone for joining us tonight.